بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله، نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وإذا قرئت القرآن فاستعذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الدين النصيحة، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We are now on lesson number 60, discussing the wisdoms of actions, and we have discussed in lesson number 59 that tayammum is a perfect form of purity, and we have mentioned about the ethics of relieving oneself, and we have begun discussing the seven factors that have been taken into consideration when the etiquettes of wuzu have been formulated. That there are seven factors that have been taken into consideration when the ethics of wuzu have been stipulated. So when we look at the ethics of wuzu, how they were formulated, how they came about, how they came into existence, why they came into existence, and what are the principal underlying factors that brought these ethics into existence. So seven factors have been discussed. One we have discussed in lesson 59, that is the upholding the dignity of the Kaaba. In this lesson, lesson 60, we start discussing the second factor, that is attaining perfect purity. What are these factors that we are trying to find out, that when the laws and the ethics and mannerism principles and were stipulated, that how they came about? So firstly, number one, that there are seven in number. Second, that number one, that in order to preserve the dignity of the Kaaba. Secondly, we start today the second factor, attaining perfect purity. These are two injunctions. Number one, not to use less than 3 stones to clean oneself. 3 stones here refers to wiping oneself 3 times. Even though a person uses 3 sides of a single stone to clean oneself, it is not recommended to use less than 3 wipes, because this is usually does not suffice to clean properly. A hadith states that a person ought to take 3 stones along with him when proceeding to relieve himself from stool, because this would suffice. It must be noted that it is gathered from this hadith that the number 3 is not the objective, but the objective is to clean oneself thoroughly, even if it means wiping once or twice, or if necessary, more than 3 times. So that 3, and why 3 has been stipulated? Because it comes in the hadith that wiping 3 times comes in the hadith, take three stones. And now the number three is not the objective aim or goal or purpose, but the wiping three. Why? Generally, after wiping three times, purity will be obtained. Now, it doesn't mean that if a person did it once, he has not attained purity. Or if a person has done it four times, has attained purity. No, this means that we have to do it until we attain purity. So the both three stones is not the purpose, and number three is not the purpose. But the goal, purity, is the purpose. So a person can go and he can in one swipe, in one clean sweep, make his purity be attained. On the other hand, a person at times will be soiled badly, so he requires more than three stones, or he'll require more than three wipes. Maybe because of sickness, ailment, maybe because of circumstances, situation, the person is soiled badly. Now that person cannot be cleaned in three stones, but will have to utilize much more. Maybe he used three stones three ways, nine times. It is mustahab, secondly, to use water in conjunction together with the stones. This has been reported from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the verse 109 of Surah Tawbah praises the people of Quba for using water. The people of Quba, Masjid Quba, Usas al-Taqwa, which has been founded upon piety and righteousness, and the quality of those people has been lauded. And the quality that has been praised is the quality of purity using water. So the people of Quba utilizing water have been mentioned in Quran al-Karim by way of cleanliness, which brings one close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here it has to be noted, if only one of the two has to be used, then it is best to use water, because it is more effective in cleaning. It is also permissible to use clean clods of mud when it is able to remove the impurity. As I mentioned, that three is not the purpose, nor the three sides is the purpose, nor the three clods or the three stones is the purpose. The ability to remove the impurity is the goal object and sole object. So that is why the hadith is saying that in order to formulate the laws of purity, the ethics of purity, number one, to hold the Kaaba as dignified, number two, to attain perfect purity, and number three, avoiding harmful objects. This applies to avoiding situations where others are harmed, as well as where the person in question may be harmed. The following regulations apply. That passing out urine or stool in a place where people take shade, such as trees, beneath trees, or on pathways and roads through which people pass. See, both these places, you are going to cause yourself harm and you will cause others harm. So we say that you cannot defecate, pass out urine or stool where people take shade, because you would have harmed them and you would cause injury to them, put them into difficulty. And also on pathways, again you're going to harm the pathway, you're going to harm people using the pathway, and also it's going to be embarrassing. And thirdly, where on roads where people pass by, you're going to defeat the purpose of the road, and you're going to harm the people utilizing that place. This does not apply to roads that people seldom use. If these are all strange roads, meaning that roads people don't use all the time or people seldom use, this law doesn't apply there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once instructed that people avoid two things which attract curses. When asked what are these, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, defecating, that means passing urine or stool, people's shade and their pathways. Another hadith adds such areas where people get water. Obviously, people utilize that for their benefit, and water is an essential, necessary, vital commodity. Now, if you're going to pass urine or stool in that area or in that spot, you are going to cause harm to people. And this is a beautiful teaching of Islam. And how beautiful is Islam, that in matters of where to urinate, golden principle of we should not harm others. Can you imagine that in our age of trial and tribulation, murder, looting and raping, and cursing and fighting and butchering going on, that Islam is saying that even when you go to urinate, don't do it where you'll cause harm to people. When you're going to pass stool, don't do it where you're going to cause harm to people. And these days, the civilized so-called nations butcher people, kill people, loot people, rape people, and they regard themselves as civilized. Whereas Islam is teaching us civility, culturalism, mannerism, in simple things like when we go to toilet, we should not be harming. The rule is, don't let others harm you, and you yourself don't harm others. It is also not permissible to relieve oneself in a place where people gather to talk, in a place where they sit in the sun, in stagnant water, in a place where people derive benefit. All of this is evidence from the above hadith, because these factors cause discomfort and harm to people. Because in a place where people gather to talk, imagine that a person is going to go there and now start urinating and start passing on stool. This is totally against ethics, mannerisms, culturism. And this will be going against the natural disposition of man. I've seen in some countries like Singapore, etc., where on the weekends everybody gathers in a square and they talk there and meet. Now imagine if someone goes there where people are talking, meeting, discussing, socializing, and decides to urinate or pass out stool. It will be completely unethical. And Islam is saying don't do that which is unethical. Yes, this is not referring to now public toilets. Public toilets are designated areas. And in designated areas which are meant for passing out urine and stool, then there is no problem. Why? Because those areas have been specialized for a set purpose. A place where people sit in the sun. Now, it has been proven, and we do not do this, that the sun, by sitting under it, not hours and hours on end, for a short duration daily, is extremely good for the health. Now, when people benefit from the sun and sit in an area, people should not go and urinate there, in the parks, in recreation centers. Yes, but in the parks and recreation centers, if there are places where have been specified now that this area is for urinating or passing out stool, then it's permissible to go and pass out urine and stool there. Not in the felt, in the open, where people go and sit down. We are not like animals. We will see if you go to a park or recreation area, the animals, especially the dogs, etc., they walk around. And whenever they want to just urinate, they pick up their foot and leg and urinate. And so on, goes on. And anything and everything they will do in public. Man, especially Muslim, is highly cultured. He doesn't know what animals do. He is disciplined. And he does not even urinate in stagnant water. Stagnant water, that is for his own now benefit. Because as we know, that this stagnant water eventually will lead to bilharzia and some ailments and diseases. And the person urinating himself is in trouble, let alone messing up the water and polluting the water there. First of all, it is undrinkable, not healthy, unhygienic, because it is stagnant and not moving. But because of the nature of it being standing there and stagnant, it is diseased, it got germs. So the person goes inside there, wades there, and starts urinating and passing stool. He himself will be in trouble, or herself will be in trouble. So, the rule which Islam is saying, that we should not harm others and do not let others harm us. It is also not permissible to use bones to wipe oneself, because food is recreated upon them for the jinnat. Also not permissible to is relieving oneself in places where a person can suffer harm to himself, such as in the hole in the ground made by some creature because of the risk of being smitten and bitten by the creature. Now, first of all, that we should not utilize bones. Why? Because it comes clear in the hadith that on the bone, when a man eats, he eats the meat of the bone. Now, thereafter, the meat is recreated for the jinnat, and the jinnat utilize that again. So, in respect and honor, first of all for the bones, secondly for the jinnat utilizing it as food, then we do not use it. Yeah, I noticed some place I went, that after eating, one person, he was kissing all the bones. So I asked him, why are you doing this? He said, no, that I'm blessing it, it's going to become the food for the jinnats. Now, one part is proven, that meat is going to be recreated upon the bone so that it becomes food for the jinnah. But the second part is not proven. That is to kiss it and to so-called pre-prepare it or prepare it for the jinn. And that is not proven. And Shariat means to do that which is proven. And to do that which is not proven, we should definitely leave it out and abstain. Also, the rule that has been stipulated, that do not utilize things that are going to harm us. That means don't use some glass or brick or something that is going to harm you and cut you whilst you are going to relieve yourself. You're going to clean yourself after relieving, and you're going to use some bottle or glass to cut yourself, unfortunately. Also, that do not relieve yourself in a hole. Why? Perhaps there, just now, it was created by a creature, be it whatever creature, a scorpion or a snake or a lizard, whatever reptile may have created just now that hole, and you go and relieve yourself in that hole and irritating that reptile, that creature, and that will come out and bite. Now the fourth factor is to adopt good habits. In order for us to formulate the laws of wuzu, at least the laws of relieving oneself, the ethics of relieving oneself, certain factors have been taken into consideration. That number one, we hold the Kaaba in dignity. Number two, we attain perfect purity. Number three, avoid harmful objects. Now number four, adopting good habits. The following laws are applicable here. Do not use the right hand to wipe oneself. Number two, do not use the right hand to touch the private front part. Number three, do not wipe with dung. Number four, use an odd number of stones to wipe oneself. Noting that because mud clots were scarce in the lands of the Arabs, the hadith speak about using stones, which was accessible to them. However, the same cannot be attained by wiping with either one. Now when we look at how beautiful, how simple Islam is, that the fourth factor which led to the formulation of ethics of and mannerism of attaining purity, that do not use the right hand to wipe oneself. Because the rule in Sharia is that for every and all good actions, use the right hand. Not utilize the right hand for those actions which are not classified as dignified. For example, that when we clean our nose, it is stated use the left hand. When you are to blow your nose, then take the handkerchief in the nose on the left hand and take it to the nose. If you want to yawn, you don't take your right hand to the mouth, you take the left hand. So the right hand is being used to do the dignified activities. And this has been stipulated in Sharia that the honorable action use the right hand. Therefore, in istinja, in ethics of relieving oneself, use the left hand. And do not use the right hand to touch the front private part. Exactly again the same thing. It is stated about Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he said after his hand touched the Mubarak blessed hands of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never touched his private part. Now this was in honor of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he never touched his private part after his hand had touched the Mubarak head of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as a rule, that to take the right hand and to touch the private part, this details you find no else, no other deen, no other religion besides Islam. That minute details have been specified, what we should do, when we should do, how we should do, why we should do, we are discussing. And do not use or do not wipe with dung. Why? Because the purpose of wiping is to remove the impurity. By utilizing dung, will be defeating the purpose. So do not defeat the purpose of wiping to attain purity, but utilize water so that purity can be attained. By utilizing dung, then you will be defeating the aim of actual getting purity. Use an odd number of stones to wipe oneself. Yeah, odd number has been stipulated because it is the golden rule in Sharia that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witr, yuhibbul witr, and therefore we should try to use odd number of things or items whenever we do things. Now the fifth factor, the fifth rule or principle that formulates the ethics and mannerism of attaining purity. Number one, we discussed about the Kaaba, we should hold the Kaaba as dignified. Number two, attaining perfect purity. Number three, avoiding harmful objects. Number four, adopting good habits. Number five is attention to seclusion. Now the following rules come into this category. Number one, relieving oneself in a place far removed from others so that they do not see his body and do not also hear or smell anything. Number two, lift the clothing only when one is close to the ground so that an onlooker may not see much. Number three, sit with the back facing towards something that can screen oneself, such as a bush or even building up a heap of sand if nothing else is available. This is a screen against the gazes of passerbys, because Shaitan entices people to look, since he is somewhere with a depraved or warped mind. Now, if you look at how Islam is catering for the dignity and welfare of mankind, how Islam is catering that we should not be naked and we should not be seen naked. That is why this attention to seclusion has been given. That number one, relieve oneself in a place far removed from others so that they do not see his body and do not also hear or smell anything. Now this also will explain, when we talked about those hadiths, when Sahaba, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, Hazrat Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when they say they saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam facing the Qibla and urinating. First of all, that we should have no evil thoughts in our mind that how they saw him. Because now we know, because of the ethics and mannerism of relieving oneself, that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must have been totally, fully covered. Yes, but you can make out in which direction a person is sitting and facing. And the Sharia, we have seen that in one narration it is stated that Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he should go out to urinate, then he should beckon to the tree nearby, and the tree nearby should come and cover him as a shade. And this has been recorded in Dalail Nubuwwat and proof of Nubuwwat, and is also been recorded in books where explaining the authentic miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the trees should give shade to Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and where the tree should protect the satar of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the trees should bow down and the stones should greet Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and where the trees should on his call and beck come and surround him so that to form a covering whilst he went to toilet. This was the speciality of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whilst what we have to know, that when we have to in journey and we are faced with a situation, that we have to relieve ourselves far away from the people so that we do not harm anybody and do not let other people's gazes come onto us, and we do not let other people have evil thoughts about us. Then we lift the clothing not far away from the place and start walking naked and then go and pass out urine, but when we come right near, then we go, take out our clothing and pass out urine or stool, and sit facing a screen or using the back of something so that we can be covered ourselves properly. Now, alhamdulillah, we have discussed five factors. The sixth one is that guarding the body and the clothing against impurity. The principle and rule here is that do not urinate against the wind or any hard ground, because the drops of urine will then contaminate the body and clothing. A hadith advises that a person seek soft ground to urinate upon. And also another hadith speaks about the punishment of the grave due to the splashings of urine. So we should worry about both of these hadiths. One is extolling us to use the soft ground so that it must not have a backlash, that a person is urinating against the wind and now the wind is causing the urine to come back onto the body or clothing of the person. Or the person is urinating against a hard surface, and because of this hard surface, that is coming back onto the person. So the hadith is saying that seek soft ground. Why? A person would urinate, it will be soft, it will go underground, and it will absorb into the ground to such an extent that the person will be safe from any backlash of the urination. How perfect and easy and simple and complete is the Shariat, that it is worried about how we should urinate so that we attain all ourselves and maintain all the time purity, so that we can make the Ibadat of Allah Ta'ala all the time in a state of purity. The seventh factor, guarding against evil whispers. For this, people have been not advised to urinate in the place where one baths, because this leads to evil whispering within the heart. Now, this hadith is in Mishkat, wherein we have been prohibited from urinating where one takes a bath. Otherwise, this will create evil whispering. So, if a place is designated for urinating, you pass urine there. If it's designated for passing stool, you pass stool there. But if a place is designated to take a bath, then you don't go and urinate there, or you don't go and defecate there, you don't go and pass stool there, because this will create evil whisperings. Many times you see the public, they say that I'm getting waswasas, I'm getting evil whispers, I'm getting evil thoughts, my mind is staring, my mind is straying, my mind is wavering, I cannot concentrate in salat, I cannot concentrate in various other things. One of the factors is that that person, unfortunately, could be, not necessarily, that passing urine while bathing, while standing under the shower. So these seven factors, alhamdulillah, are those factors which lead to formulating the laws of etiquettes concerning when you are attaining purity. To reiterate, number one, holding dignity of the Kaaba. Number two, attaining perfect purity. Number three, avoiding harmful objects. Number five, that attention to seclusion and adopting good habits. Number six, guarding the body and clothing against impurity. Number seven, guarding against evil whispers. Remember that the Shariat is so particular that when we go to toilet even, we should not allow evil glances of others to come upon us. And it is so designed that we should not put others into sin also. Forget ourselves going into sins, but we should avoid others going into sin also. Inshallah, when we come back next week for lesson number 61, then we will start discussing about why the Shariat does not want us to urinate whilst standing. Wa akhiru ta'ala, alhamdulillah.